This is GKW. Welcome to another edition of Good Karma Wrestling. Team back in full strength. I'm Gabe Knutson from ESPN Milwaukee, along with Brian Rowitz from ESPN West Palm. Catch him on ESPN 1000 in Chicago, as well as SiriusXM Pro Wrestling Nation every Sunday morning from 9 a.m. until noon Eastern time. He is Jonathan Hood. All right, boys, we got a lot to talk about. Had a PLE in the WWE. We had wrestling in a golf arena this weekend as well. A lot of things that we want to dive into. But again, if you missed any, again, and I would specifically talk about last week, interview, really good interview. Check it out at youtube.com/@goodkarmawrestling. If you want to check out the Bobby Lashley interview and catch that in its entirety. But where we begin today is in WWE, coming out of the PLE. Jacob Fatu, he falls to Roman Reigns, supposed to acknowledge the tribal chief Monday night on Raw. Well, shockingly, that didn't happen. Can't believe it. He just goes out there, lays waste to the Usos and Roman. And now the question begins. The question is, what is next for Jacob Fatu?
Jacob Fatu will continue to go after the bloodline because I believe that this is another page in the book, Brian and Gabe, in which, yes, Fatu lost, but he won the war. Did you notice after he lost the match, he got up and said, wait a minute. And it's like he didn't sell it for a long time. He just kind of got up in about 10 seconds and goes, no, I'm going to keep battling Roman Reigns. So I guess the answer is that this extends. Does this extend through SummerSlam? I don't know. But I think that there's still more meat on the bone between Roman Reigns and Jacob Fatu to maybe Fatu builds his own army.
See, what I worry about is the way you said it. He's chasing the bloodline. He's fighting with the bloodline. 99% of the time when someone's feuding with the bloodline, they don't end up for the better at the end of it. At the end of it, Roman is still the champion. They've gotten some chances. We don't see any advancement. I feel like the only way we get advancement is if somehow the belt is on Fatu. If it's SummerSlam, I don't think it'll be Italy next week. There's conflicting reports on whether Roman's going to Saudi for Night of Champions. But you got to put it on Fatu. He's hot right now. And I feel like SummerSlam could be the opportunity to really reset the company. If at the end of SummerSlam, Fatu and Oba are your world champions, I look at WWE a little differently in that situation.
Yeah, but I don't know. I guess, how are you getting around? Because, I mean, Roman said it how many times? Either he acknowledges me or he's out. Right. Like, Adam Pearce is ready to fire the dude, and he's like, nope, you got to give him the chance to acknowledge me. Like, Jacob Fatu at some point has to get fired here, right? Like, yeah. he has to, hey, you didn't come out and do what you said you did. I mean, he put his hands on every WWE known official, you know, out there other than Hunter, because he didn't come out and try to you know, break everything up that happened over the weekend at Backlash. And so then after that, you know, you just had the, so I don't know where they're going with the story, but obviously what's next for him is he's still going to continue to battle with the bloodline. I highly doubt he is going over Roman, though. I guess that's where I stand. I don't see a world in where he is going over Roman and taking over as champion on Monday nights, especially because guess who else is on Monday nights?
Who?
Oba.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, you can change that.
It's still driving me crazy on who the babyface and who the heel is in this. Like, okay, so you want someone to acknowledge you. Does that make you a bad guy? Yes. But not to the fans in the arena, though, because they still put up the ones.
Right.
Fatu on the other side. Fatu wants to be able to have what Roman has. He wants to be able to have the lifestyle that Roman has. Does that make him a heel? Like, I still don't know who to root for. In the arena we saw the other day, it was like 60-40 Roman. But I still don't know who I'm supposed to root for in this.
Yeah, they're still chanting for Fatu. When you have the Usos involved, people are still going to cheer for them and yeet and all that sort of stuff. Like, no one's the heel while still acting heelish, if that makes sense. I feel like that's where we're at.
Yeah, I guess Fatu's the heel. I mean, Fatu's the heel because he attacked WWE personnel. Like, you put your hands on Adam Pearce. Although the way that, like, basically Roman talked down to Adam Pearce to kick off the show on Monday, that's kind of heelish, right?
And Roman character-wise has not really changed since the bloodline. Like, what's different to even make him a face? He doesn't have Heyman? Like, that's
people, Yeah, that's basically it. Him and Heyman no longer, again, you are associated with Heyman, you're automatically a heel. If you're not associated with the Heyman, then I guess you're not a heel.
I don't know, man. Do you have to be JC Jane to get booze in this company?
I guess.
Or Dominic Mysterio? Even Dom's getting cheers half the time.
Right.
I don't know, man. We're just, shades of gray is weird for me in this situation because Fatu is very popular. He went from being a maniac to cerebral to being a maniac again. I love it, by the way.
Yeah.
I guess you're right, Gabe, because if you tape your fingers and you're putting your fingers in the gullet of someone, I guess that makes you a heel, makes you a bad guy.
Probably, yeah.
But I feel like when Foley did it, he was still a face.
There was a sock on it.
That was a sock. Okay. There was a face on that sock. Like, that's the most baby. Come on.
My bad.
Trying to compare that to taping your fingers.
Well, a hand in a mouth. Like, it's still going around that line. My bad.
Oh, my God.
But, I don't know. I mean, because as shown, when the bloodline is involved, and that's basically what they're doing here, right, with the Usos, you need help. Who the hell's coming to help Fatu? I mean, Cody doesn't go over. One person who did it, you know, outside of some of the Bloodline Civil War stuff that they did when you know, the sides were kind of even. Like, who's coming to help Fatu at this point?
See, this is a problem and a hole in booking all the time, right? Seth Rollins, Cody Rhodes, and Jacob Fatu all need friends. And you get those Sami Zayn in there as well. Who's helping these people? These are individual accomplishments against factions. You know, how can you win that way? If you don't have friends, you can't win by yourself. Seth Rollins will never win this war. He can't even get the Street Profits to be on his side. It's tough.
Well, I mean, he just basically let Angelo just take the spear, saw it coming, got out of the way, and basically offered him up on a play. I understand why Montez is a little upset with Seth after that. Just kind of laid my guy, you know, let my guy just take the spear that was clearly intended for you.
But if Fatu keeps losing, then, like, he's Drew McIntyre. Like, we're months away from him singing with the crowd and, like, not looking at him as a main eventer anymore.
Wow, you actually think he's going to get to sing American Pie with the crowd?
It feels like it.
I don't think he's going to get that far. They're not going to let him do that.
I love the idea of him seeing American Pie. American Pie. No, I mean, I love that.
Like, that's how their creative goes. Like, it just makes no sense to keep taking losses and then ultimately not get your comeuppance out of it.
Yeah, but again, I feel like him being the heel in that situation, he's the one who's going to get his comeuppance once again. Again, whether that's sooner or later, like, he's the one who's ultimately going to be eating it from the Usos. And look, because over on SmackDown, also, I don't know how this Gunther Cody Rhodes thing is going to play out. Like, it kind of feels like Gunther has to win, and that wouldn't be shocking if we are to believe that they were going to take up the championship off of Cody in order to continue the Cody Randy thing and have the tag match that ultimately didn't happen at Backlash because Pat McAfee decided, nah, this ain't for me and split. So if
you're talking about being a heel, it's like, just an idea. What if the Usos turn on Roman and that's how Fatu gets the belt and they become essentially the new bloodline and Roman chases there?
That's on the table.
Like, that's just different a little.
Why would Jay do that?
He's tired of the way Roman's, you know, front and center or something along those lines.
Well, yeah, but then he's just letting somebody else be front and center. Like, Jay's been a world champion before. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
I just don't. I mean, again, it's wrestling logic, so you can, you know, kind of pause a lot of that. But it just, I don't think it would make a ton of sense for Jay's character to just go from one cousin to another cousin, being, you know, just kind of bossing them around.
I think with wrestling logic, I think that is on the table. Where now the narrative is, Roman, you're not the same Roman. You've gotten softer, you know? Yeah. You don't seem like you're the same person. You might be the OTC, but you're not the same person you once. But here's Jacob there with momentum, and people are scared of this guy. I'll stand side by side with Jacob. I won't take a back step, but I'll stand side by side. And then Jacob is going to start ruling those guys too because of how demonstrative his personality is. I mean, anything's on the table. They're just, the one thing we do know about WWE, You put Samoans and Tongans on the TV and it draws a number and it draws interest because they got nothing else. Like you just mentioned Cody, right? Cody and Gunther. If Gunther's not in a position to retire Cody, then what's happening here? Is he winning the world championship? I don't think so. So
I think, I mean, if he doesn't, like, then he can't return to me. Like, he has to. Like, you have to keep the momentum going with Gunther. Like, that's the only thing that makes sense there. And if you stop that momentum by having him beat Cody, then it becomes just, it's like Cena in the early 2010s. LOL, Cena wins. LOL, Cody wins, right? Like you have to do something. And I think Gunther, I guess what I'm expecting right now, like Oba has to have a championship coming out of SummerSlam, right? Mm-hmm. I think we all agree that. Like you, yeah. And they're already having trouble just trying to keep him in neutral while still making him strong before you start that, right? Like they have to wait to SummerSlam, but I don't know if they can wait till SummerSlam because the dude is liquid hot right now. But I think that's the plan. And so Oba has to be one of the champions coming out. Is Gunther the other one? Like, I'm okay with that. If Gunther and Oba are the two champs coming out of SummerSlam, I'm good there. I'm thinking, okay, you can do some interesting things going forward. And again, if it ends up being some retirement matches, whether Brock comes back or not, whether Ray actually retires this year, I think Gunther can retire those people with the hey, you get one last chance at this, but if you want this, your career's on the line.
But also, we're having to connect those dots and tell those stories. Like, Hood, you mentioned, like, yes, the Bloodline is their top story. What's number two? Like, your women's champions are barely on TV. Rollins and the Vision are basically on repeats. Like, there's not a lot of stories going on. It feels like everything's just on pause. Like, oh, yeah, we got to get to SummerSlam. Yeah, we'll just pause for a couple months. But, like, it doesn't work like that.
You know, it's a big problem. That's why they only have five matches on.
Right.
They'll have a lot of stories to tell, so fewer matches. Let me get back to one point that you made, Brian, about, you know, if Fatu does not win the championship, then he's in Drew McIntyre mode. You know, that is a spot on the card, the Drew McIntyre spot. Sure. So, and I know what you're saying, but if Fatu is there and he's always trying to win the championship and can't get there, there's always that upper mid card or you're in the main event or we can plug you in and if you lose, it won't hurt you. That's what they do with McIntyre. Yeah. McIntyre's away for a while. Don't be surprised if Fatu's in that same spot, the McIntyre spot of good matches, but not winning the big one.
But the problem with that, at least McIntyre is a former world champ. Right. Sure. So there was, you know, once he was, you know, and again, it was the same logic that they would always use for Dolph, right? Like Dolph would get thrown into, oh, you're going to be the first challenger coming out of, you know, SummerSlam Mania or whatever, because you're a former champ. You're going to make the current champ look great. And, you know, that's kind of what they were doing for Drew until they actually put the championship on him and then took it away from him. And, Yeah, I don't know, man. Like, SummerSlam is not that close, guys.
No,
like, it really isn't that close. We've got a significant amount of time to get there, and it seems like I'm with Brian. It seems like they just kind of want to hit pause on everything, and you've got some stories you have to tell, other than, you know, the Street Profits potentially taking the tag titles off of the Vision. Like, I don't know what else is going on right now on TV.
We're watching every week. We don't know what's going on. Right. We're getting a funeral for a gingerbread man, and
that was sick.
A lot of dance.
The pop that the gingerbread man got when he sat up in that casket, that was crowd was hot for it.
Yeah, and you're paying $30 to $40 on the app for that.
Uh-huh.
I mean, I tell you, they're spinning their wheels. And they got plenty. You're right. They got a Night of Champions. You got Saturday Night's main event. There's some match. But the thing is, again, this is why they're only giving us morsels of matches, because they're not telling enough stories to fill out a card. They're just not. They just don't.
But the problem is they've got. And I know SmackDown's going back down to 2 hours, but right now you've got 5 to 6 hours of TV you got to fill every week.
Gingerbread Man
and commercials and Danhausen skits. That's essentially all it is.
We're going back to 89, actually. That's where we're going. We're going back to the bits now. We're going back to the clowns and all the other stuff to fill the time in, because I guess the wrestling content's not enough. You got a roster filled with talent on Raw and SmackDown. And while you're doing that, you're bearing talent like Sol Ruka. Yeah. So go right ahead. Like, all this talent, they're not telling enough stories.
I mean, like, having her lose her Raw debut, like, what are we doing?
Oh, it's like, what? Look, either you, I know it's sink or swim on the main roster game, but my God, the way it's traditionally done, it's lighter talent that she can get her finish over, right?
Yeah.
Throwing her in the fucking deep end for her to lose. Like, what's going on here? So are you going with her or not? I mean, she's exciting. People like her. She had a good one-on-one with Becky Lynch the first time. Second time, she got buried. So you put her in a position to get buried on the mic. I mean, this is NXT LA Knight coming to the main roster right now, flipping off the rope.
I was shocked by that. And again, like, you can, and I know you just trimmed a bunch of the fat off of the roster with all the releases that you did, but I mean, AEW still does it. And I love it, man. When they bring in local talent just to eat a pin in 5 seconds and then you get a quick little promo, like, why can't you do that with Soul? Why can't you do that with her right now?
We're seeing AEW do a Speedball now. Like, we're used to seeing, like, Monsters doing it, but, like, Speedball sort of getting that, which feels like it's leading to a heel turn. But at least they're doing that and putting him on TV and explaining who he is.
And then and then there's Brian Cage. But go ahead, you were saying?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Speaking of enhancing talent.
That was such a good match. He's so big.
Yeah. Did he get bigger?
That's what they were telling us on TV last night. Like, that's what, you know, Renee was like, I think he's more stacked. I had no idea this guy was coming out, but he looks more stacked to me. Back to you, Tony.
Thanks, Renee.
Hey.
Golly.
I thought that. I'm like, all right, Kevin Knight has to lose. Like, I saw him come out and I'm just watching him go to the ring. Like, I'm sorry, Kevin Knight has to lose this. Like, you got to put this guy over right now. And no, he's just sitting out there looking at the lights. But I digress. Okay, so then again, stories need to happen over in WWE, I guess is the lesson that we're learning here. We're going to dive into our other top three stories in the world of professional wrestling. We call it the three count here on GKW. Brian, what's number one this week?
Maybe this will fill time. We don't know when, though. The big announcement at Backlash from John Cena is the debut of the John Cena Classic. Veteran talent versus new talent, a new title, fans voting on winners. Your thoughts on the John Cena Classic?
I mean, the fan voting on, like, who won the night is, you know, kind of like what they used to do, like Cyber Monday or Cyber Sunday, whatever the pay-per-view was, where they, like, Cyber Tuesday, whatever they did it. With like fans would vote on the stipulations or the matchups and all those different things. That's a little weird. I'm in on the concept because I felt like it really worked. Again, going back to Sol Ruka, like, she was fantastic in her match against Bayley. All looked really good until they did the WWE finish against Cody Rhodes. Like, I feel that was a great showcase. And one of the issues that WWE has had, whether it's been Hunter running NXT and Vince running the main roster, or now HBK running NXT and Vince running the main roster, there's always a little bit of a disconnect between who these characters were on NXT and just assuming everybody's watching NXT. So clearly you must know who this person is when they come up to the main roster. There's always been that disconnect. So this, to me, at least gives the opportunity to bridge that gap for some of these talents that are going to be showcased in this. And look, again, we know, like, it feels like a lot of these PLEs become house shows. Like, this at least becomes a fun concept for one of those as not being one of the pillar PLEs that WWE has. And I like the idea of being able to showcase some of that younger talent against more veteran performers.
So a couple things with this. Number one, boy, what a bad time to bring this concept up with the cupboard being bare at NXT.
Yeah, you just emptied it.
Raise your hand if you want to see Tony D'Angelo against anybody on the main roster. Because on the women's side, yes, there's Jada Parker and there's women I want to see on the main roster. But boy, what a time to bring this up. This ain't quite the black and gold brand that we're watching NXT right now. I saw an NXT episode with like eight new stars or eight new NXT superstars. I'm like, who are these people? No idea who these people were. So if you're going to do that, it's too bad that you've done it now without veterans, you know, that could really match up against the Raw and SmackDown people. The other thing is, too, I agree, Gabe, when I first heard Cena kind of roll this out, I'm like, oh, dream matches, right? But that's not quite what it is. You know what this is? This is great for baby faces, meaning that if you have a match, and even if that baby face loses and the heel wins, you still, as a fan, can vote in the baby face. What?
So this is made for LA Knight, is what you're saying?
I think so. That makes no sense to me. So what you're saying is that even if in a loss, if you're impressed with the other person who lost, you can vote that person in as a possible John Cena classic. That's just, that makes no sense. And God bless John for trying to explain it. But my thought is like, this concept still needs to work out the kinks.
Well, because clearly, I think the reason why they put this in here, Hoodie, is because, like, we knew going into John Cena's last match, like, we knew the only NXT talent who had a chance at winning was Sol Ruka. Because, like, Bayley is somebody who gives back. Like, okay, Bayley's not going to mind taking the pin here. Was not coming up and pinning the WWE champ. Like, that's just, we knew that was not going to happen, right? So I think it's an opportunity for these NXT talent who are more than likely going to lose the vast majority of these matches to still come away and be a winner of the night because somebody's impressed with the way that they looked. But like, because Oba, despite losing, what, did he lose that match? I guess I don't know who won, if they just throw it, whatever.
Is it thrown out? I guess.
Yeah. So,
Cody is thrown
because,
out.
Yeah, because Oba, despite not winning his match, was still a huge winner that night in because of the way he looked in the 5 minutes that they gave him.
So, Lance Storm pointed out, though, that like when it comes to wrestling, you need dance partners, you need both sides. If you're a main roster talent that's making 2 to 3 times more than the NXT talent, why are you going to bust?
Well, maybe not now because you took a 50% pay cut.
Oh, that's fair. But like, why are you going to make the NXT talent look good, who then gets voted like, oh no, we like them better? And then he said, all of a sudden, TKO is like, well, why don't we just keep that person around that we're paying a lot less? Like, that seems to be an issue also. Like, to say that, where it's like, why do I want to make this person look good if they might ultimately take my job?
Yes, that makes sense. Yes, absolutely. Is that not the business that we're in?
Right.
Talking about Good Karma Brands and every other business around here. Why would I want to try to tutor someone or help someone get over and it makes me look bad? That's just the competitiveness of the business. I just think that, Gabe, it's just a bad time if you want to do this here. Because it's not like I watch NXT every Tuesday, but I'm aware of what's going on. And I'm like, what is this? Like I said, the women's side is more impressive. They've done a good job with that. But the men's?
Oh, they just, I mean, again, well, because it starts with Oba, Trick, and Evans. They came up before, and now you, Ethan Page, Saints. I know I'm missing somebody in there. I think they called somebody else up on the men's side, right? Like they completely ripped the men's roster apart.
And then, but on the other side, like Fatal Attraction, is it? Yep. Fatal Toxic Attraction?
One of those.
The three ladies that came up with JC Jane involved in it. I mean, they took all three at one time. It took Sol Ruka. So, I mean, of course you have to replenish the talent, but I just don't know if there's anybody that I want to see get over from NXT on the men's side to take a spot on SmackDown or Raw.
Yeah, that's why I'm guessing this could be something in like December.
Fine.
Like this feels like to me it's going to be this winter when you're in the dead of the WWE off season because things kind of cool down during NFL football season and they kind of spin their wheels. This feels fall winter at the because we don't have a date, we don't have a location, we have nothing other than what Cena told us over the weekend.
Do we think this was a pivot then? Like, was this always the announcement, or it was going to be the WWE club? They saw people shitting on it on social, and like, let's come up with something else.
No, I mean possible, but I think that, like, again, the fact that they had Cena come in, like, it makes sense that it's going to be. I mean, again, they don't have all the details, but they just wanted to use Cena to help fill time because, again, you have a 5-match card where the first hour appeared on ESPN2.
This also feels like them for the first time just outright saying, yeah, wins and losses don't mean anything. Like, whatever you guys want, clap for it, do the catchphrases. Like, but the actual win and loss, doesn't matter.
That's what Road Dogg Jesse James was saying all along when he was in WWE, and I hated it.
Yeah.
I hated him saying that. I looked up the database here, Gabe. I don't know if I see it here on the screen. So apparently NXT is going to have Kevin Owens, Johnny Gargano.
Wow.
Looks like they're going to have Ciampa, The Revival, Jason Jordan. You know what? This is actually going to be pretty good.
Good roster.
Damn good roster. Let's see. Yeah, they got some quality talent that's going. Actually, this is going to work out perfectly. Absolutely.
The Revival.
That would have been awesome back then, yes. If we had black and gold talent facing WWE talent.
Now you're cooking, right?
Yes.
These kids here, man, doing color by numbers wrestling, just like, it's just, I don't know. It's something about that brand, Brian, when I watch that. It's not even as good as your average indie sometimes. Right. It's just not. You've seen indie shows with a lot more action, a lot more. And it's not even about experience as much as it is just action. And it's just, everything is just very staccato, color by numbers, wrestling at times. I just don't see NXT being a show that I want to see by itself on the road.
Yeah, it's 1,000% developmental. Like, they are literally developing in the ring. It's like you're watching wrestling school. Like,
yeah,
it just doesn't click for me right now.
Which is always weird then that they make, you know, some AEW talent or some veteran talent that they sign go to NXT. Like, you're telling me Ethan Page and Ricky Saints needed to go to NXT?
I mean, put Evil there from New Japan, but it's just to learn the WWE way, how to work 10 minutes and then have an interference finish.
And of course, being on GKW, Ethan Page didn't care. He wanted to go to Evolve. He didn't care. he didn't care. We found that out. We break a lot of news around here, but that's the news we found out, that Ethan Page couldn't care less where he is. Just wants to make money.
Yeah.
That's what you want to do. That's good for you. Yeah. All right, Brian, what do we got at number two this week?
We talked about it a little bit. Gunther versus Cody seems to be the path, possibly in Italy in a couple weeks. What percent chance is Gunther winning the title in Italy?
I'm 50-50 right now. And again, I know you guys are probably going to be a lot lower than that, and going as low as you could possibly be on that. Like, I just, that you have all this momentum for Gunther, and I know they've kind of struggled to figure out how to keep that momentum going in case he's going to retire more people. Again, we thought he was going to retire Brock. Looks like Brock's actually retired. And because Brock's going to do what Brock's going to do. I don't know about, you know, the possibility of retiring Ray. Maybe Ray's just going to wrestle forever. Who the hell knows? But again, we had come up with a list of names of people he could potentially continue to retire to join the list of Goldberg and Cena and AJ Styles. So I like the idea of Gunther winning the championship and that championship being dangled out there. Part of it's, again, no fault of Cody. Like, just what other stories do they have to tell with Cody on that roster? They've told them all. Like, he just needs to be away from the championship for a little bit. Like, the stories just aren't that compelling. You know, it's the same feud over and over again, you know, where somebody pisses Cody off, he comes out, yells enough into a microphone, and then we have a match. All right. Cool. Well,
I mean, just like the sports we rant about every day, Gabe, it's up to management to find compelling stories and compelling wrestling. I mean, he's a heavyweight champion. You don't have a list of stars that can take him on. Like, this matchup here, Gunther's not winning. Unfortunately for Cody, Gunther's going to get babyface cheers.
How are you? What, you're going to have Cody do some heel tactics? Like, how are you protecting Gunther in this spot?
Right.
He'll just come out and he'll get booed. He doesn't do anything. It's Cody. He's the American Nightmare.
So he's just going to lose. So Gunther's just going to lose clean in the middle of the ring. 1, 2, 3.
Yes.
Who does that benefit?
So you're just going to, you're undoing all 8 months that you just did with Gunther, from retiring Goldberg, retiring Cena, you're just going to throw all that away?
Yes, he's just a retirement guy. He can't win any other match.
So what I'll say then is, the only way to make it beneficial, put the belt on him and have Oba beat him. Like, beat down Cody after, continue to be a monster, and then Oba says, hey, I want to go to SmackDown. Like, I saw what they did to Cody. That's not cool. Oba, Gunther at SummerSlam. Oba wins the belt.
What do you mean that's not cool? The sweeper wasn't cool? Is that what you said?
Something like this, WWE logic. Like, he'll beat him down. Maybe we'll get a little bit of blood also. And then you'll get a great match at SummerSlam, and that's how you put the belt on Oba.
But again, Oba going over Roman does a lot more for Oba.
Sure, but I'm not 1,000% confident that Roman will lose to him.
Why not?
I don't, because the last decade of Roman.
What is he, Roman Hogan? Doesn't work for me, bro.
Yes. Like, how many losses has he taken?
Well, yeah, but I don't think that's because he went, hey, that doesn't work for me. I think it just worked within the storyline.
There was a lot of opportunities where he could have put his shoulders on the mat and KO could have won and Drew could have won or Sammy could have won, and it didn't happen.
Yeah, you knew he was going to mix in the Sammy one. You knew it, Hood. Like, he was making a point, and then he had just had to derail himself. But like, oh, Sammy could have won.
That Montreal crowd. Imagine what
no one's going to disagree that the Montreal crowd would have gone crazy for it. Like, it would have been a great moment, but like.
Boy, that Sammy train's never late, boy. I tell you. Unbelievable.
How are you doing, by the way, right now with your boy Sammy? He's kind of tweener right now. It's
not great.
Getting beat up by gingerbread man. May have murdered a gingerbread man. Like,
that train is in the station. Needs some repairs right now.
He broke Joe on SmackDown, the gingerbread man. It broke him. If you saw that video. I'll say 40% that Gunther wins the championship.
And, okay.
And here's why it's 40%. It's because it used to be it's only going to happen at WrestleMania, only SummerSlam, Survivor Series, Royal Rumble. But that's not the case anymore. That's all thrown out. It's not just winning championships at the tentpole PLEs. It could be anything now. It's just wide open. And probably from TKO's standpoint, because of the international, they probably would like that, being in Italy. Wouldn't surprise me. So I'll give him 40% to win. I feel like it's going to be a sleeper, Cody's in the corner, a roll-up 1-2-3, a flash pin for Cody over Gunther. That's the finish I predict.
I do think we haven't seen that yet, like the midday title change. I think this is, what, a 2 o'clock Eastern start in a couple weeks? That would be different and unexpected.
Yeah.
But again, it makes you if you do a title change, again, it makes these other ones worth watching, especially watching live. Otherwise, like Clash in Italy, it's probably going to be pretty skippable.
Well, also Night of Champions, which will be in Saudi, and again, conflicting reports on whether Roman will be there. But if you're doing champ versus champ, can they run back Roman and Cody again?
Oh, God.
In this situation, if it's Roman Gunther, Roman goes over. Huh? Then you're taking away Gunther's loss there. They pinned themselves in these corners. It's so unnecessary. Like, how do we end up here? It's like, you guys did that.
Yeah, like you did not have to make Gunther the first guy to face Cody coming out of WrestleMania. But again, I think they had to pivot because their plan was to continue Cody versus Randy, and now Randy's gone. You know, maybe that's what they do, and Randy like comes in and costs Cody, or who the hell knows. I honestly don't know. But to me, if I'm just boiling this down to Gunther versus Cody, I can't, at least right now, picture a way of Gunther losing and not losing all of his momentum.
I agree.
A loss against Cody does not hurt Gunther. Gunther is the guy to retire people. You think that he's going to take two steps back and he loses against Cody? I don't think so. I don't agree with that. He's still strong.
Made such a big deal about it. Like,
I know, but Triple H is strong on Gunther. He's the modern day Killer Kowalski for Triple H. He's not going anywhere.
But I still think you want to protect that mystique. You want to protect that, oh, this guy's really tough to beat. And if I just watch him lose in a roll-up to Cody, like, oh, okay, maybe those other guys just suck.
Flash pin. Lucky pin. I think that saves face for Gunther if it's a flash pin by Cody.
So do you know the last time Gunther lost a singles match?
No. Oh, Jay?
Jay?
When he dropped the title to Punk at SummerSlam.
Oh.
So that was August of 25. So it's been almost a calendar year since he has lost.
Great storyline from the lose. He's going to be fine. He's already a made man.
Is he, though?
Necessary. Yeah, I don't know if he is.
Oh, watch the product. He's a made man.
I do. I do watch the I'm very confused.
That's the issue.
Yes, yeah, I guess maybe it would be better if I didn't watch the product.
No, he is fine. Gunther is fine. Gunther could walk away from the business and be a Hall of Famer in that company because of who he's retired.
Yeah, I completely agree with that. But again, if you want him to keep retiring people, again, and maybe and like I said, maybe there's not a people to retire at this point. And, you know, you've already got one retired and Elba retired him and Ray's going to wrestle forever. So now you have to pivot away from that. But I just feel like he's got the momentum and losing to Cody is
fine.
Not the way to go here.
No, you know what? And it would have been Ray retired, but Ray did the fake knee injury. My knee. So that's why we don't get a Ray Mysterio, because he's still trying to run away. And, you know, he's in the back and Triple H says, hey, can I talk to you for a minute? And then like Ray runs away. It's like, no, we want to retire you, but you keep running away.
But come even post-Mania, like we've barely seen him. Like this is the first time we saw him in a little bit. Like that momentum's slowly dying. And I feel like a loss hurts.
By the way, Gabe Neitzel, you and your wife actually lucked out. Imagine going to the island in Puerto Rico, see five matches. You would have been the most pissed off. Like your wife would have been like, "Oh, we're having a good time," and you slamming your hat down. Like, we flew all the way out here for five matches. You actually lucked out, pal.
I
you
did.
Poor wife's reaction to see the little people out there.
Oh,
try to explain that.
How much did we spend to see a bunch of little people with Danhausen? You're actually, you know what? Good for you. Originally, you were going to be in Puerto Rico. They moved it to Tampa. So, you know what? Okay.
I'm curious if that, because again, the impressive thing about the Danhausen match is it got booed. Uh-huh. The initial thing got booed, and then the crowd slowly turned and got into it. I don't know if it's going the same way in Puerto Rico. I don't think that crowd's going to get behind it the way that they did in Tampa. Maybe I'm wrong. I could be wrong. But I don't think they're getting behind it the way that they did in Tampa.
Nope. In Chicago, would have been a full boo. Here in Chicago, we would have booed the crap out of that. Get out.
Uh-huh. And that was the first time with Danhausen. Wasn't that Chicago? The box?
I was there. Yeah. I was there. And I kept hearing from the crowd, we don't want any of this AEW shit. Wow. That's like, okay, sir. Thank you.
All right. So we move on. What do we got? Number three.
In the world of AEW, the brackets have been unveiled for the latest Owen Hart Memorial Tournament. On the men's side, Ospreay takes on Samoa Joe. Mark Davis takes on Jack Perry. The other side of the bracket, Swerve versus Bandido and Claudio versus Brody King. Finals will take place at Forbidden Door. Winners get a title shot at All In. On the women's side, Persephone takes on Hazuki, and Willow Nightingale takes on Alex Windsor. And the other side, Mina takes on Athena, and friend of show Sky Blue takes on Suri. So, fantasy book, the Owen.
All right, pretty easy to do on the men's side. We're getting a Ospreay versus Swerve final. Ospreay wins, get the championship match at All In. Are we all agreed there?
Yeah.
Is that what's on the line?
They would meet up in the end, yes.
That a championship opportunity or match.
At All In. At All In.
Wembley.
In Wembley.
Yep.
All right. Well, we know what that is. Yeah.
All right. I mean, and again, we're going to have some fun matches along the way on the men's side. Like you're getting Joe versus Ospreay. I mean, we just saw Mark Davis and Jack Perry. So we get that again. Swerve versus Bandido is going to be a ton of fun. And Claudio versus Brody. Like it's all going to be a lot of fun, even if it is very predictable on the men's side.
By the way, Jack Perry's contract's up soon. You read that?
I did not see that.
You talk about maybe bolstering the NXT locker room. Jack Perry. Whoa. Be careful.
Interesting.
So again, I think the men's side's pretty easy. The women, trying to figure out which of these women are going to end up with a championship match at All In, that's the interesting part of the Owen this year.
So the part I'm hung up on, I think Athena, and I feel like we've thought that for a couple years, but not against Tekla. Like, I feel like we need to find a way to get the belt off of her before we get to Wembley.
It should be Athena, but I don't know if it will be Athena. And also, there's been a lot of TV time for Persephone.
Yeah.
He seems to like her a lot. I haven't seen enough of her to know if she's worthy of that or not.
Alex Windsor?
Oh.
Yeah, another.
Husband and wife.
Yeah.
<That's fair. laughs> they did that before, and now that couple broke up, but they have done that one other time. There is precedence for couples winning. One wins the men's side, the other wins the women's side.
What if you get the TBS title off of Willow somehow before? So her first round match is at Double or Nothing, and then ultimately her winning the women's title happens at Wembley.
Willow winning the world title.
Yeah.
It's because Tony said so on GKW.
He did say that. That was one of the women he listed.
He did say it.
Uh-huh.
Let me tell you something, Gabe Neitzel. We're newsbreakers around here. I don't know if you know that. We break news on this thing. That's just some lark.
I don't know how. I think we kind of accidentally fell into it. But,
we just give them the platform. We do it. They go. They get comfortable with us.
Every interview, we just fall into it. I don't know how. We fall into news.
Yeah. It just happens.
Yeah.
It wasn't the goal, but it just kind of keeps on happening to us.
That's the goal. Thank you.
There's
very
also a possibility to get a random fill-in in the tournament because Sari, I saw a tweet going around where apparently she's taking some time off, and yet she was announced for the tournament.
Who is that, by the way?
She's from Japan. Same with Hazuki.
Okay.
But I think so. I mean, when is Forbidden Door is a long ways out.
Yeah.
Like Forbidden Door to have these finals, like the fact that you're having two of these quarterfinal matches on the men and one on the women's already coming up at Double or Nothing, like you're really going to have to stretch this tournament out in order to make it last until Double or Nothing.
Yeah, like, I don't know. Like, the men's, like, we're just going to get banger matches, what we do. The women, it's just hard because there's not a lot of people you look at like, all right, they deserve a world title shot at Wembley. Like, it's Athena or Willow.
It should be, yes.
Like, Persephone's not there yet. I don't think Windsor's there yet.
Oh, maybe Forbidden Door's not as far away. So June 28th is when Forbidden Door is.
Okay.
Where
so
is
it's not as far away. It's out San Jose.
Oh, okay. Got it. So what is Meltzer like? Because that's where he lives. Okay. Who do you think wins? Because if Meltzer's there, he's got to be able to pick the finish. So
Sari tweets, as announced, this is translated, I will be taking approximately 1 month off for neck maintenance. Having to miss matches that were already scheduled, I am truly sorry for the inconvenience and worry this causes to all fans and organizations involved.
So all right.
Going to wait a month for a first round match?
Okay. All right. I don't think that's something I was asking you, even who she was. So I don't care. I mean, there's other women that's worthy on that roster, aren't they?
So you're saying we're going to get Sky Blue versus Britt Baker?
I was hoping for it last night. I'm not going to lie, because they did the men's and they did it with not a lot of fanfare, but just like, here's the bracket. And then it was it. But we're announcing the women later. And the fact that they saved the women later, I thought, ooh, maybe we could get a big return here or the tease of a return. And instead it just ended up being the same thing. Just, oh, here's the bracket.
Yeah, Britt Baker gets in that bracket. You know, she's going to say, nobody cares. Nobody cares. No one cares about you. Oh, out.
Uh-huh.
So that happened before, as you recall, right?
Mm-hmm.
She said, nobody cares. So I'm picking Athena. So there you go.
I'm also picking Athena.
Yeah, a third. But, like, I'm just trying to make cases for anyone else in this. Again, Tekla being the champion complicates it. But, like, maybe a Sky Blue?
No, she's
this. AEW. They can take the championship off of her on a collision on Saturday night. they don't care. They will take those championships and move them around however they see fit.
Sky Blue's going to take the pinfall.
Yeah,
and that's
have an opponent right now. So
that's unfortunate. That's unfortunate to say. I don't mean to be so flippant, but I mean clearly not going with her. She's not winning matches. She's part of a faction, but she's there to have a good match.
Yeah.
Yeah, which she's certainly capable of. I mean, I always think there's a chance that Alex Windsor, just as, again, you go with the English. I think there's, I think that's the dark horse on the women's side.
I think that's fair. You could do that.
I like Alex Windsor, don't you? I think she's very good. Brawling Birds, right?
Yes.
If they really focus and hone in on tag team wrestling, those two could clean up for about a year.
Yeah.
They could be FTR. If you just put them in match, you got plenty of women to be able to have good tag team matches. If you really wanted them to be like the toughest women on the roster, you could build something with those two.
Well, I am not disagreeing. I am in 100% agreement there on the women's side. Again, because they always, they haven't always done the championship opportunity. And that's always interesting when they do and don't do it.
Last year they did, because that's how we got to Hangman.
Mm-hmm.
And Willow lost to Mercedes.
Well, no, because Mercedes has never been...
Oh, you're right. So who do...
has never been the AEW women's champ.
Willow lost to Stat?
Oh, think so.
There's someone needs to go to NXT. Statlander. Jesus Christ. How long have we been doing this show? We have never said, we've still been waiting for that breakout of Statlander. She probably just needs a different home, new coat of paint. That's what I think.
They've tried a couple different coats of paint in AEW, and it still hasn't, at least with me, connected with me.
Sometimes you just got to go. You're just like, you've done everything you could. You're not over. You're over in the back. She's over in the back and not over.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Problem.
So. The women's side last year, Mercedes won last year and lost to Tony at All In.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
2023.
Thank you. So I think, and so I'd like to ask this whole John Cena tournament, is this the answer to the Owen? Is this their competing with the Owen by having their own tournament?
Sure.
That's what it feels like to me.
I mean, you're not going to be able to compete. I mean, especially on the men's side.
Yeah.
How do you compete with those matches if you're WWE?
Well, AEW's where the best wrestle every day of the week.
Ospreay versus Joe, Swerve versus Bandito, Claudio versus Brody King. I'm going to go out on a limb and say nothing in WWE is going to touch any of those three matches.
Maybe NXT. They always like to put NXT against AEW. Maybe something from NXT will get that done. I would say no.
Yeah.
What do we got at News and Notes this week, Brent?
All right, Hood, you have Friday night plans because Ring of Honor, Super Card of Honor from Maryland taking place tomorrow night. Some of the matches on the card. Bandito defends the ROH world title against Blake Christian. Oh. AR Fox defends the ROH TV title against Leo Rush.
No.
Athena defends the women's title in a survival of the fittest 6-7-8 woman match.
I'm okay with that.
All right.
Oh. AR
AR Fox versus Leo Rush.
Yeah, I'm in.
Okay.
Right. I've definitely seen that match on Indies before.
Yeah, we all have. Yeah. Yes, the 20 minutes of action and no one getting over. Right. Oh, God.
God. Look forward to a full report tomorrow night.
Is that all you have? That's all the men?
There's not much else.
Blake Christian, is that the main event?
Has to be.
The women are?
Yeah, I mean, Athena's forever champ. You could put Athena in the main event.
What's that? Blake, what'd you say, Blake Christian against who?
Bandito.
It's Bandito. It's going to be good.
Yeah. Deonna Purrazzo defends the ROH Pure title against Diamante. Oh, how about this? Pure Wrestling Rules match. Josh Woods versus Nigel McGuinness. Nigel just wrestles when he wants.
Well, it's a quality match for Nigel to lose again.
Uh-huh. ROH Women's TV title, Red Velvet versus Viva Van. She's really good, by the way. I see her a lot. Mania weekends. I like her a lot.
And he doesn't mean Red Velvet. He means the other girl.
I picked up on that.
And Shane Taylor Promotions versus the Rascals for the ROH six-man titles.
Okay.
Sure. Is that the pre-card?
Yeah, maybe. Those are your guys, Hood. Bravo and Dean.
I love those guys. I don't know. Shane Taylor
Promotion, still a faction. Who knew?
Uh-huh. Still around. Heartbeat, still around.
He is ROH. ROH can't exist without him.
Oh, doctor. Okay. I'll watch. Yes. He wants me to do an ROH report. That's what it is.
It's Super Card of Honor. It's a big deal.
It is. It is in name. Yes.
Yeah. All right. We saw on Monday night Asuka walk out of Raw. Dave Meltzer reports that he's heard that Asuka is, quote, semi-retired. Quote, I haven't really gotten an exact meaning of what semi-retired means, but I guess people were wishing her goodbye and things like that backstage. I don't know if that means she's going to Japan to still wrestle. I don't know if that means she'll do stuff here and there, but I was told, quote, semi-retired.
He doesn't know.
Because there's no way that's the last time we see her on WWE television. If that's it, that is just such a, like, such a slap in the face to Asuka and everything she has done in her WWE career. And basically, it's just her hugging with Io Sky and then walking with her suitcase out of the arena. She doesn't get, like, any fanfare. Like, she's a Hall of Famer. She is a multi-time champion, has won the Royal, has done everything that there is to do in the women's division in WWE. Like, that, you can't, that can't be the last we see of her.
You give them too much, like, leeway and confidence in them. They 100% are like, you know, we're good.
He does.
Uh-huh. No, but retirement angles, they play the shit out of those. Like, they play those things up and give you the speech and the whole nine yards. That's an easy way to fill TV time, which they are desperately trying to do.
He has the WWE run like the Seattle Seahawks. It's amazing. Gabe gives this organization so much credit. And it's like, nah, man, nah. No, they're the Chargers or something. Yeah, uh-huh. Falcons. Like, that's, it's not good. So in kayfabe, what was Asuka doing there?
Well, she couldn't tell her Saturday. There was no time after the match, so she had to come to Raw and then take her luggage out. Yeah.
See, they're trying to waste TV time. You can tell me they wouldn't waste it with a 15-minute farewell segment? Come on.
They could do that in the back on Backlash.
No time for that.
She had to drive to Knoxville. That's what you
Yes.
Drive to Knoxville, fill out paperwork in the back, and then just go through a side exit in Knoxville to her car.
Probably set out the emergency exit thing, like the whole thing.
Fire alarms going off in the building.
I just want to know in kayfabe what the hell she was doing there, because whatever it was, she could have did that Saturday. But okay.
She was looking for someone to take her spot.
Okay.
Speaking of potential retirement, Sami Zayn in a recent interview says he doesn't want to put a number on it, but know that his career is, quote, definitely closer to the end than the beginning.
He's been wrestling for a long time. Like, he could wrestle for another 10 years, and yeah, you're closer to the end than the beginning.
Why did he say that? Does he feel like it? Does he feel like his WWE time is coming to an end?
We can all hope. And by we, I mean me.
Can I just tell you, just between you and me, Brian, he's not winning the world title in that company.
I fully accepted that.
All right. Have you?
So I had before, then I had that little ember around the Rumble, or like, oh, you know what? Maybe.
Dead. I don't think you've ever. No, I mean, I don't think you've. Maybe you've accepted it. I don't know if you fully accepted it.
Yeah, I guess the next time they dangle the carrot in front of me, they'll get me back.
It's not happening. He's still the baby face, and they're booing him out of every building.
But he's not a baby face.
He's not?
I don't think so.
If you don't know that he's a baby, he's saying...
How is everyone gray in that company?
He says he still is... The ride or dies. You're a ride or die Sami Zayn fan, right?
Yes.
There's very few of those now.
You have like five that are true baby faces or heels in that company. Everyone else is gray.
Gunther, Cody,
Oba,
Dom,
Rhea,
EO.
Okay.
Yeah, EO.
That's it.
Okay, six. All right, we got to six.
And even Cody's debatable sometimes.
Charlotte.
Charlotte could easily be booed.
Yeah, it's pretty definitive. I think we gave a good seven right there.
Yeah.
Ray.
Ray.
Penta.
When he actually is there. Yeah, Penta's over. Yeah.
Nobody boos Penta.
No.
Nobody.
Finally, news and notes. July 7th, the season 7 premiere of Dark Side of the Ring. The season will open with a 2-episode Jeff Jarrett and the History of TNA. Some other episodes, Paul Orndorff, The Big Boss Man, Missy Hyatt, and Zach Gowen.
Oh, okay. Missy Hyatt. You gonna give the real story? Or is it just because she used to be a manager back in the day? I want the real stuff. I want the hotel stories.
I don't know.
Ric Flair's penis was tied to a balloon. I want that. Give me some of that stories. Yeah, give me. I mean, otherwise, don't bother.
Okay.
Okay. Who else now? You said Zach Gallen because he's got the one leg. Great story. Okay.
Next. Big Boss Man.
What's wrong? What happened there?
I feel like sometimes they just pick people and they're sort of running out. It's like, what story are we telling here?
I was about to say, I'm impressed this has made it seven seasons.
Yeah, that's
because it felt like they told a lot of the big dark stories in the first two, and now they've been kind of like cobbling together like maybe one good episode a season.
Yes.
And then just kind of throwing other names out there in terms of Dark Side of the Ring.
Yeah, because I don't know the dark side of Big Boss Man, Ray Traylor. Big Bubba Rogers. Maybe it was. Maybe something we don't know. That's the thing. Maybe there's something that's deep. It's like this Von Erich documentary. I haven't seen it yet, but I think the three of us know everything that happened in the Von Erich story, the movie, everything else. Apparently this documentary reveals even more that we didn't know. I have seen that
out there. I haven't watched it, but yeah, I've seen a lot of those tweets. By the way, the Jared and TNA one is a 3-episode debut.
What? Okay, well, Jeff had substance abuse issues. His wife died.
Okay.
But there's no Dixie Carter in it. I don't think she's involved in this at all.
No, I saw that she had been asked like 2 or 3 times and turned down the request every time.
Okay, well, we got to have Dixie in there. I mean,
I've also seen people point out they're doing an episode on the Necro Butcher versus Samoa Joe match on the Indies, which was just a good like match.
Was there a disease passed around?
I mean, always possible with indie shows, but. That's, not that anyone's aware of.
That's what I want to know. Was there a Hep A, Hep B situation?
They're also doing one on Renegade from WCW, the Ultimate Warrior knockoff.
I don't care about that guy. I don't care about that guy.
So, yeah. So, July 7th, coming to Vice TV.
All right, boys. It is time. What did you have for your matches of the week?
Hard pressed to not mention another Darby. It's actually the Darby match of the week.
Yeah, can you just say Darby?
Yeah, put that on the screen there. The Darby matches of the week. I mean, again, shouldn't I be paying for that main event on Dynamite last night? Should I be paying for that? What the hell? Uh-huh.
Or the Collision one on Saturday with Pac.
Great match. Great match. Great opener. I also want to give Mark Davis his flowers as well against Jack Perry, as he's the national champion. Mark Davis deserves – now, here's a guy that deserves the championship. He's been busting his ass. Every time he takes the ring, it's like, oh, you're a tag team wrestler. Nope, your guy's hurt. Nope, your guy's hurt. Okay, so now as a singles wrestler, he's doing well. I'm happy for Mark Davis.
Yeah.
The best one from Backlash was clearly Asuka and Io.
Yep.
Like, they gave them – I know we were concerned about it. We didn't know if they would actually get the time. They got the time.
Yep.
Again, there's only 5 matches on the card. There was no reason not to. They did, and those two absolutely delivered. That was spectacular. Best match from that card by far.
Completely agree on that. And we talked about a little earlier, Kevin Knight and Brian Cage from last night.
It was really good. It was really good. It was so good. And again, I thought, like, okay, Brian Cage's got to win. Nah.
I guess Knight loses to Speedball after a heel turn.
Sure. Kind of feels that way.
Sure. Hey, man, if you're 5'9", 5'10", or shorter, you're getting over in that company. It's just not a big man's company. It's just not. It makes no sense. Just as I always say, what I always say, Gabe, bring somebody that doesn't watch wrestling into the room and ask them, so what do you think of this match? And they'd say, oh, that big guy's the world champion, right? Nope.
But also, to that point, like the fact that Mark Davis is getting this push and has a title now, like, one of the best booked big men they've had in that company.
But all the other big men are jealous. They're like, how come I didn't get this opportunity?
Yeah, no, I agree.
No.
God, I still don't know how Brian Cage never just did. Brian Cage ever hold the title other than
the FTW?
Yeah.
Nope.
I don't think so.
Because it's not like he's just like, oh, he looks like, and then you see him in the ring, and it's like, oh, okay. Right. You know, it's not like that. No, you see him, and then you see him in the ring, and you're going, what am I missing?
Yeah.
I don't get it. I don't get it with him, man. I don't. He's so good.
So good.
But but he ate the pen last night. Again, if you happen to miss any of GKW, any of this episode, want to check out some of the past episodes, some of the past interviews that we've done that we've even referenced, Bobby Lashley, Tony Khan, all those great interviews, check them out, youtube.com/@goodkarmawrestling. Comment, subscribe, check out all the great content that we have. Still plenty to talk about. There always is in pro wrestling, and we'll talk about it next week right here on GKW.